Professor Bruce Collins, here to talk about Waterloo. Could you describe the general features of the British Army at the start of the French Wars?
I think the important thing to remember about the British is, in a way, the army was in some ways rather like the army today. Britain has a very small army today by the standards of world armies, and indeed by standards of European, continental European armies. But the one thing it has today is a record of intense activity in distant campaigning. So if you think of the last 35 years, there's no European army which has fought in the ways that which British army has done in the Falklands campaign, obviously a very small campaign, but extremely difficult one. And then, of course, in the first Gulf War in 1991, the second Gulf War in 2003. So the British Army today is small, but it has a lot of recent and quite distinctive fighting experience. Now, in the early 1790s, the position was really quite similar. The British Army as an organisation was actually very small and quite loose-limbed, as it were. But the British had been very successful in fighting very distant campaigns when they fought against the Americans in the American War of Independence, 1776 to 1783. The British sent an army to America which was larger than any army they'd ever sent overseas anywhere before. So while by the standards of the French Revolution, by the standards of the 1790s, it wasn't particularly vast, 40,000 men, it was a fantastically large operation to send 3,000 miles across the Atlantic. Similarly, in the 1780s and then the very early 1790s, before the British started their long war against France, they'd fought campaigns in India, which were quite demanding and complex. And so they had this very distinctive characteristic of being a very effective, what we call power projection force. They could project their power distantly, but they were not a great continental military force. So that's the first key thing to think about the army. The second thing I think is true of most European armies, but even truer of the British, was that, of course, it very heavily relied on the organisation of individual regiments. And the British regimental system was very powerful, as it still is today. The army was not organised into great divisions or corps to be sent overseas. So whenever you had a war on, you had to kind of create the organisational structure for fighting a war from these regimental units, which are about 800 men, that sort of unit there. So that's the first main characteristic of the army. The second characteristic, I think, compared to continental European countries, is the British, it was very powerfully a volunteer army, and some of the continental countries had already developed forms of compulsory service, which the British did not have, except, of course, for the militia, if the country was invaded, and militia, of course, only fight within the United Kingdom. So we have an army which is based on these small units, but we also have a lack of a culture of high levels of military participation, unlike, say, the Prussians, unlike, to an extent, the French, and so on, in the early 1790s. So that's the broad picture. And, of course, in British terms, the Navy has a much higher status, in a way, in popular culture. Than the army, because of the fears that the military might become involved too much in domestic politics with the Civil War under Cromwell being a very sobering background reality. Okay, so that's the sort of broad picture.